Hello, we're beginning our new series on Jude, the little epistle or letter of Jude. It's only one chapter long. It's the last book in the Bible apart from Revelation. And we're going to do it in three sermons. So this is the first one today. So let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this little letter. And we ask that your Spirit will guide us in some difficulties here. Father, may we see what your Spirit has given. May we interpret it properly, and may we sense your call, your command to submit to you, to live in the love that you have given, and to stay faithful. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this is a funny little letter in many ways. It's by a guy called Jude, who's possibly the brother of Jesus, of James. The James is probably the brother of Jesus, so Jude, therefore, if he's a brother of James, is a brother of Jesus. Brother could mean co-worker with James, the main apostle in Jerusalem. But certainly it's a Bible book, and we can take it as authority for us. Jude describes himself as a servant, or probably better, a slave of Jesus Christ. In other words, he wants to say, I'm nailing myself to this master. This is the ticket I want to kind of operate under, a slave of Jesus Christ, somebody who submitted to Jesus. And I think that sense carries its way through the letter as well. He writes to people here in verse 2. Verse 1, I'm still on. He writes to people in verse 1, and he describes them as those who've been called, loved, and kept. Called and loved by God the Father, kept for Jesus Christ. Now, these are words of encouragement, of reassurance. So he's saying, you genuine people of God, you that God has grasped, got hold of, is saving. I'm writing to you. And he's wishing on them, verse 2, mercy, peace, and love, lots of it. So clearly these are Christians, he's right, Christians he understands and grasps are fully belonging to God. Now what he then says is verse 3, when we get into the letter proper, he says, I really wanted to write a different letter to you than the one I'm writing. I really wanted to write to speak about the Jesus that we share as our Saviour, this salvation that you have, that I have. But he basically saying, but circumstances mean I'm writing to you for a very different reason. I'm writing to you because there's an issue, a big issue, something really difficult that we need to face and deal with. Certain people, at verse 4, are slipping in among you. So therefore he says back in verse 3, I'm writing to you to say stick with the true faith with Jesus. Not just stick with it, but fight for it. Fight to stay with this faith of Jesus. Fight to keep that faith of Jesus pure and sure. And this faith, what is it? What faith is he talking about? Well, it's the one that was for once for all entrusted to God's holy people, to the saints. In other words, it's the message you have received. Paul often speaks like this, the message you heard from me. So he's saying there has been a message from the apostles and so on. Verse 17, Jude mentions the apostles preaching and so on. So you have received this authentic message from the right source. Stick with it, fight for it, contend for it. So that's how he opens out. Now, later on, the third sermon, we'll find out how Jude thinks we should contend for it, what we should do. But in the first bit of the letter up to that, we're really finding out his analysis or his description of these people who are slipping in and making trouble. So we'll come to this, our first section now. Now, who are these people and what are they like? Verse 4 gives a good description, although it's a bit vague. They've slipped in amongst, in other words, they're among us and apparently with us, but the end of verse 4, they're ungodly people. They pervert God's grace. And they turn it from a freedom from sin, and instead of being freedom to serve God, they make it freedom to do what you feel like. It's a license for immorality. And ultimately what this leads to is means they're denying Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord. Serious stuff. They speak about Jesus and his grace, but by what they do in their living, they deny him. They're, you could almost say, blasphemers. They're slandering God and his Saviour, Jesus Christ. Christ who is the true sovereign and Lord. So Jude is saying these people are dangerous, very dangerous, and I've got to warn you about them. Now, what Jude does next, it's not something we're really used to seeing in the Bible. He's a kind of different take on things, and maybe if he's written more letters, we'd be familiar with it, because this is all we get from Jude. It seems kind of a bit odd to us. So right here from verse 5, right through to verse 16, so the bulk of the letter, really. In this list, Jude comes up with two lists of examples of things that aren't right, people who do wrong. So you've got two lists. One list we're going to look at today. The next list we'll look at next week. Three biblical examples and then one non-biblical thing that he deals with. So in today's list, we'll have three biblical examples and then one non-biblical. And next week, we'll have three biblical examples and one non-biblical. And hopefully, we'll get a picture of why Jude's doing it like this and what he's up to. So let's jump into our first list, which is verses 5 to 10. Verse 5, though you already know all this, I want to remind you. So he's saying, this isn't new stuff to you, this is familiar. That the Lord at one time delivered his people out of Egypt, but later destroyed those who did not believe. A simple example. Going back to the whole story of the escape, God's people escaping, the Israelites escaping from Egypt. And Jude is making the point very clearly, God saved them, but later on, it turned out not all of them trusted him, not all of them believed. And the ones who believed were destroyed. So see, he's saying, in this story, escape from Egypt, there was a fault. They didn't believe. There was a result. They were destroyed. Second example. This is from, a bit more odd, from Genesis 6, verses 1 to 4. The angels who did not keep their positions of authority, but abandoned their proper dwellings, these he has kept in darkness, bound with everlasting chains, for judgment on the great day. Now, in Genesis 1 to 4, it talks of the sons of God, and it seems to be angelic beings, heavenly beings, who basically decided, we want more than God is allowing us to have. So their position of authority that they had, they say, that's not enough for us, we want more. And they then seem to get involved in the world, and it seems that they have children with earthly women. I mean, it's a bizarre story, but you'll see that in Genesis 6, verses 1 to 4. So Jude is referring to that. And see, what he's saying is, the fault was they overstepped their boundaries, their God-given boundaries. The result is that they will be destroyed, reserved in everlasting chains for judgment on the great day. So escape from Egypt, the problem was they didn't believe, they didn't trust in God, and they were destroyed. The problem here is the angels they've turned against God, they've overstepped their boundaries. The result is they will be condemned. Third example, verse 7. In a similar way, Sodom and Gomorrah, a more familiar story. Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns gave themselves up to sexual immorality and perversion. They serve as examples of those who suffer the punishment of eternal fire. See exactly the same pattern. These people, the fault, well, it was sexual immorality presented as going after strange flesh. That's a more literal way to see that idea of perversion. Going after strange flesh. The result? Punishment of eternal fire. So see, just three biblical examples. People turn away from God in some way. They don't believe, or they overstep boundaries, or they go after strange flesh as sexual immorality. the result each time, either past or future, judgment, condemnation, destruction. This is serious stuff that Judah's bringing to us. And then in verse 8, it's as if Jude seems to almost kind of go through these three things again backwards. So verse 8, he picks up the one he's just talked about in verse 7, Sodom and Gomorrah. And verse 8 says, in the same, very same way, on the strength of their dreams, these ungodly people pollute their own bodies. Now the word flesh is there, pollute their own bodies, pollute their own flesh. Picking up the idea of gone after strange flesh in verse 7. So Judah's just making a little comment here on the Sodom and Gomorrah incident, saying, these people, they pursue their own flesh. They pollute their own flesh by what they do, ungodliness. Then he uses the phrase, they reject authority. And I think here is going back to verse 6, the angels who usurped their, or didn't keep their position they'd been given, but wanted a different one. They rejected God's authority. And then he goes back, I think, to the first example of the escape from Egypt, and they didn't believe, so they're destroyed. It says there in the end of verse 8, they heap abuse on celestial beings. Now, that phrase celestial beings, I don't think it's a sensible translation. It's over translated. Literally, it means they slandered, they heap abuse on, literally it means the whole little phrase, heap abuse on celestial beings, means they slandered glories. They slandered glories. Glories, the translation makes sense of celestial beings, which is sometimes a connection, but glory is also just a word used for God and his actions. So it seems to me that what Jude is saying here, back at from connected to verse 6, verse 5, is that these people, they disrespected God, they slandered God and his salvation, his loving them through the desert wilderness. They slandered the glory that they got from him. So three biblical examples, and Jude bringing out at the end the three things, that the three faults: pursuing their flesh, rejecting authority, slandering God's glory, the great things God has done. And the punishment was clear what that they will get. But then Jude, he goes into a fourth example now. And this is an example not from the Bible, but from a kind of a piece of writing. It's probably from a piece of writing called The Assumption of Moses. So why should Jude quote from a book like that? Now, there was lots of this kind of, there was lots of this kind of writing, the Assumption of Moses kind of books around in Jude's day, in New Testament times. They embellished biblical accounts and they filled out maybe enigmatic sayings in the Bible, especially about things like angels, and they filled all that out and gave all the angel hierarchies and the roles of angels, all that kind of thing. The idea seems to be that the angelic world had great power, and if we could somehow tap into that power, we would kind of have the secrets of the kingdom, that kind of idea. Now, Jude, in quoting this, he's scotching all that completely. He uses this kind of apocryphal writing against itself. Even in these kind of writings, he's saying, where they honour and hold up in great esteem these angels. Even in one of their own writings, Jude is saying, you have the angel Michael, the archangel Michael, who wasn't willing to overstep his mark. The archangel Michael, who didn't dare condemn the devil for the devil's slander. Rather, Michael said, the Lord rebuke you. So Jude is saying, you might think these kind of all this angelic stuff, that's the place to go. That's where to find the super spiritual ideas. But Jude is saying, even these writings themselves, they don't overstep the mark. They don't delve into these secrets, the things they don't understand. They show that even this great angel, archangel, didn't do that. He simply said, God will rebuke the devil. Yet, verse 10, Jude is saying, the people that have come in among you, as the people we've looked at in the biblical examples, they slander what they don't understand. And the very things they do understand by instinct, as irrational animals do, will destroy them. See, he's saying the fault they have is that they are overstepping the mark, slandering things they don't understand. They're following their instinct, their natural instinct. That's their fault. They're indulging the flesh. They're doing what feels right to them. What will their result be? They will be destroyed. The end of verse 10. Woe to them. So see what Jude's doing? He's building up a case and saying, look, these people that have come in amongst you, we've seen them before, here, here, and here. And we dare not go on the attack against them in our own power, trying to use spiritual power against it. We're not fit for that. We're not, even the Archangel Michael wouldn't do that. We mustn't fall into this trap of using these other writings to these spiritualities to take authority or anything like that. These people are doing that. They're turning against God, rising up against God, and their ultimate end is destruction. So let's just tie this up. Jude is hammering home to us that people come amongst us who appear spiritual. They appear full of spiritual knowledge about all sorts of things. They talk about grace, God's love. See, it says that, verse 4, they pervert the grace of God into license. They talk about God's love, but really they're following their own instincts, their own desires, their own fancies. And if you look at how they live, you can see that that is true. Therefore, Jude is saying, watch out. There is real danger here. Stick to the true faith that has been delivered to you authoritatively from the apostles, that was once for all entrusted to God's holy people. Stick to Jesus Christ as has been shown you in the salvation that he has brought. So let us listen to him, beware and be careful about this warning. And let's pray over this week that we would be able to grasp what Jude is saying in the next couple of weeks as we look at a bit further at this, so that we are able to resist and stand for Christ and stick to him. Let me pray. Father, we thank you for this chance to tackle this little book. We pray for wisdom to grasp it. Lord, we pray for faithfulness to Jesus. That we would see that he is our hope, he is our salvation, that you have given him to us as all we need. And that we will bow before him, we will be his slaves, keen to follow wherever he leads, whatever he gives us to do in the gospel. Amen.